Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is January 31st, 2018, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Twist and Shout, Testicular Torsion. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Melissa Langhan, and she is an associate professor of pediatric emergency medicine at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut. Melissa, she's passionate about clinical and translational research and focuses much of her work on the use of capnography or end-tidal carbon dioxide monitoring. In her spare time, and after reading that, I'm not sure she has any, in her spare time, Melissa also enjoys being the fellowship director to an amazing group of pediatric emergency medicine trainees. Welcome to the SGEM, Melissa.
Thanks, Ken. I'm really excited to be here today.
I'm excited to have you here because I found your name on the Speakers Bureau for Feminem.
That's true. What an amazing group. And I was so excited for you to promote them at the end of 2017.
Oh, so you saw that my year-end SGEM Extra podcast for 2017 was naming that year the Year of Feminem.
Yes, and I do love their podcast, probably second to yours, Ken.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice of you to say. But I mean, we highlighted so many amazing women. There was Dara Kick Ass. Oh, there, I've just lost my iTunes rating. She told me to say it that way. Dara K Ass, so it's Cass. Diane Brickhouse Birnbaumer, and of course, KK Moody, who just sent me, I've got to show you, and I know this is a podcast, but she just sent me a Superwoman of EM t-shirt that I'm going to be wearing tonight on my night shift under my scrubs.
I think I have to get one of those.
You definitely have to. Now, because you're on the Speaker Bureau, I want to challenge you. If I said, Melissa, stand up with no prep, give me a 30-minute talk on anything, what would your topic be?
It'd be on end-tidal CO2, of course, Ken.
Of course. Okay. So let's get started on this Twist and Shout episode. And thank you for the music. Love the Beatles. What's the case?
So Brian is a 14-year-old male who presents to the emergency department complaining of acute onset testicular pain. Ouch. He's vomited twice, but there's no history of any fever or trauma. On examination, you find a firm, swollen right testicle, and the cremasteric reflex is notably absent on that side. Your index of suspicion for testicular torsion is high. Might his exam be enough to convince the urologist to take him straight to the operating room without a preceding diagnostic ultrasound?
Acute onset testicular pain can be caused by a variety of etiologies, from testicular torsion to epididymitis to traumatic hematomas. Among these, testicular torsion is a time-sensitive diagnosis, as this involves loss or reduced blood supply to the testicle, which can lead to ischemia. Prompt surgical intervention greatly increases the rate of testicular salvage. In other words, time is testes.
That's right, but clinical signs of torsion are not always straightforward or specific for this diagnosis. Right now, ultrasound imaging of the scrotum is the gold standard for diagnosis of testicular torsion. However, that can lead to delays in definitive care.
And so there's this testicular workup for ischemia and suspected torsion score, or TWIST, the TWIST score. And it was developed to risk stratify patients under the age of 18 with an acute scrotum.
The TWIST score ranges from a total of 0 to 7, and it's comprised of 5 components from the history and physical exam. Those are testicular swelling, which is worth 2 points, a hard testicle, also worth 2 points, the absent cremasteric reflex for 1 point, nausea or vomiting for 1 point, and a high riding testicle for 1 point.
Well, it's been previously validated among urologists and emergency medical personnel. It has not been validated among emergency department physicians. So that leads us to our clinical question for today.
So can the TWIST score risk stratify pediatric patients presenting with acute scrotal pain and reduce the time to surgical intervention by eliminating the need for ultrasound diagnosis?
And what's the reference?
So Lilly and Froelich et al. Had the study Prospective Validation of Clinical Score for Males Presenting with an Acute Scrotum in Academic Emergency Medicine in December of 2017.
Oh, this is a pretty recent study that just got published. Excellent. We're really cutting that KT window down to less than 1 year. Now, instead of going through what is often referred to as the PICO, the Population Intervention Control and Outcome, this is a validation of a clinical decision instrument. So we're going to go through the population, the predictors, the criterion standard, and what was the outcome. So who did they include in it? What was the population?
So they included males from age 3 months to 18 years of age who presented to the emergency department with a chief complaint of testicular pain or swelling.
And then they excluded those that had pain due to trauma, symptoms of greater than 1 week, previous diagnosis of testicular torsion or testicular disease, and imaging already obtained. What was the predictor?
The TWIST score.
Yeah, which you ran through earlier, which is a maximum of 7 points, so 0 to 7, but it had 5 things on it. That's my favorite number. So it had 5 things on it. And what was the criterion standard?
That was a final diagnosis of testicular torsion confirmed by surgical exploration and included patients diagnosed with intermittent testicular torsion.
All right, now they had a couple of outcomes. What was their main objective, their primary outcome?
That was the diagnostic performance of the TWIST score.
And so we're going to focus this podcast on that, and we're going to leave the secondary outcomes. You can read the paper if you want. We always encourage people to read the primary literature, but we're not going to be going through the secondary outcomes in this podcast. But the author's conclusions were, quote, "In this prospective validation of the TWIST score among pediatric emergency providers, the high-risk score demonstrates strong test characteristics for testicular torsion. The TWIST score could be used as part of a standardized approach for evaluation of the pediatric acute scrotum to provide more efficient and effective care." All right, Melissa, we're going to go through the quality checklist for clinical decision tools. And note how I don't say rules. Are you aware that I have this thing about rules and tools? Are you familiar with that?
I think I heard that on your talk on the subarachnoid hemorrhage tool.
Oh, yes. Ian Steele and I. Yes. Tools versus rules. All right. So there's 9 questions. So the first question is, the study population, did it include or focus on those in the emergency department?
Yes. This was done in the ED of a tertiary care children's hospital.
And do you think the patients were representative of those who would present with this problem?
Yes.
Did they consider all important predictor variables and outcomes? Were they explicitly specified?
Yes.
So is this a prospective, multi-centered study with broad spectrum of patients and clinicians? In other words, is this a level 2 validation study?
No, it was not a multi-center study.
Okay. Did the clinicians interpret individual predictive variables within the score of the clinical decision instrument reliably and accurately?
No.
Is this an impact analysis of a previously validated clinical decision tool?
Also, no.
Okay, for level 1 studies, question 7 doesn't really apply because they didn't ask about clinician behavior and patient-centered outcomes. So let's jump forward to number 8. The follow-up, do you think it was sufficiently long enough and complete enough?
I'm going to go with unsure there.
And number 9, the effect size, was it large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
Unsure.
Okay, so a little bit of a haziness there to that. Let's go through the results. They had close to 800 patients presenting to the emergency department with acute testicular scrotal pain or swelling. Now, there was 258 patients enrolled in the study, and the mean age was 10 years. So when they looked at all the comers, they had almost 800. They got 258 into the study, and they were about 10 years of age. Diagnosis of testicular torsion was made in 19 patients, so that works out to 7%. Ultrasound identified 16 out of the 19 patients that had torsion. And so, Melissa, what's the big key result here?
So the higher the TWIST score, the higher the risk of testicular torsion.
And if you drill down into that primary outcome, can you give us some more information on that?
Sure. So patients with testicular torsion had a statistically significantly higher mean TWIST score than those without torsion. So about 4.2 for a TWIST score for people with torsion compared to 1.6 as a TWIST score with people without torsion.
And a TWIST score of 7, and that's the highest score you can have, had a specificity and positive predictive value of 100% for testicular torsion. And the sensitivity was 21%.
That's right, but there were a few patients with low twist scores that also had testicular torsion.
And we'll put in the show notes the test performance of the twist score to predict testicular torsion. And they give cutoffs of 5, 6, or 7. And in that table, you'll see the sensitivities and specificities, positive predictive value, negative predictive value, with the 95% confidence intervals around those point estimates. And it'll also include positive likelihood ratios and negative likelihood ratios. But you know what, Melissa? Now you get to talk nerdy to me. My favorite part.
Can't wait.
All right, so I'll lead you off because this is your first. And by saying first, I hope you come back on the SGEM. This is your first appearance as a guest skeptic. So we're going to go through 5 things, but I'm going to lead it off, okay? So here's the first thing. This was a convenience sample. Patients were only enrolled when a research assistant was available. And we get that. I mean, research takes place in a context, and there's some practical aspects, and sometimes you can't have people available 24/7 to enroll patients. But when you looked at the patient population, 233 patients with testicular pain were missed. That's almost half. And of those, 36, that's 15%, had a diagnosis of torsion. And remember, in the enrolled patients, it was only 7%. So twice the number of people who they didn't enroll were diagnosed with testicular torsion. So that can lead to some bias and can threaten the validity of the conclusions.
That's right. Now let's talk about the double gold standard. So patients with a positive index test are more likely to receive an immediate invasive gold standard, whereas patients with a negative index test are more likely to receive clinical follow-up for development of disease. And that was from Cohen et al. In 2013. Now, every patient in this study had an ultrasound, but only those with a positive ultrasound went on to surgery. Those with a negative ultrasound were followed clinically. Ultrasound's not a perfect test. It depends on the operator, and there could have been false negatives that were not identified in their follow-up strategy.
And on that Cohn paper in 2013, that was co-authored by Chris Carpenter, one of the smartest people I know. All right, number 3, prevalence. The prevalence in this study was lower than expected. Again, the prevalence was 7% that actually had confirmed testicular torsion. Now, this was lower. Now, maybe it was lower because, again, the people they didn't enroll had double the amount of torsion, 15%. But when you have a lower prevalence than what you expect, the results that you get for the point estimate, you get wider confidence intervals. And so here I am on a podcast holding my arms out wide going, I'm not so sure, because you have a wider confidence interval. If you had a very tight, narrow confidence interval around that point estimate, you can be more confident in it. And so when they looked at the results, they got wider confidence intervals around their point estimates for the test characteristics, for that cutoff point of the twist score at 5, 6, and 7. So again, that can threaten the validity of the study.
Right. And number 4 is inter-rater reliability. So the overall twist score only had fair agreement between providers with a kappa value of 0.39. And if you look at the kappa values overall, this can go anywhere from minimal agreement to kind of weak agreement. The history of nausea and scrotal swelling had the highest kappa values at 0.75 and 0.74 respectively. And the absent cremasteric reflex had a kappa value of 0.2, which is also kind of weak. The hard testicular mass had the lowest kappa value at 0.25. This overall can make it hard to know if providers would agree on what the twist score would be overall.
And that leads me to external validity, because this study was conducted in a pediatric emergency department at a tertiary care pediatric hospital. One of my best friends is a pediatric EM superhero, Dr. Anthony Crocco, and I am sure he is much better at this scoring than I am, because he'll see these people more often. And so his subjective sort of interpretation of some of these variables will probably be different than in my experience. And so we're really unsure how this twist score would perform in the hands of community emergency department physicians that sees children but also sees adults. So those are the 5 points. Now we can get on to comment about the author's conclusions and compare them to the SGEM's conclusions.
So given that agreement on the twist score was only fair, the large proportion of missed patients, and that a high-risk score was considered greater than or equal to 5 in the original study, as compared to 7 in this study, it may not be wise to eliminate ultrasound examination in these patients just yet.
So give us a bottom line, Melissa.
The TWIST score needs further multi-center validation among emergency department patients presenting with acute testicular pain and swelling before implementation into a protocol.
And can you give a resolution for the case that you presented with Brian?
Sure. Brian had a TWIST score of 4, receiving 2 points for testicular swelling, 1 point for absent cremasteric reflex, and 1 point for vomiting. Despite our high level of suspicion, you're going to send your patient for an ultrasound examination to confirm the diagnosis of torsion before committing him to surgical intervention.
And then how are you going to take this recent study and apply it clinically?
Unless your patient is hitting a TWIST score of 7, you should strongly consider obtaining a diagnostic ultrasound to confirm the diagnosis of testicular torsion if that ultrasound can be performed in a reasonable time frame.
Yeah, and I think that's important because it does take place in a context, and it all depends. And so if you're at a large tertiary care center, you might be able to get an ultrasound 24/7 immediately. Maybe you won't. Maybe there's other barriers that prevent you from getting it immediately. But in a smaller community setting, you might have to call an ultrasonographer in, or they might not be available at certain times. And so you've got to take that into your clinical decision making. And we're always emphasizing that evidence-based medicine is not just about what the literature says. It's about the patient's preferences and values and expectations, and also the clinician's expertise. And so it takes place in a context. The answer is it all depends. And so if you can get that ultrasound in a reasonable time frame, okay. But if you can't, you might have to alter your management. But what are you going to tell Brian at the bedside?
So Brian, your pain could be due to a twisting of your testicles. You might call them your family jewels. We call this testicular torsion. This can cut off the blood supply and permanently damage your testicle. You will need urgent surgery if the blood supply has been blocked. There's a scoring system called the TWIST we use, with 0 being the lowest, less worried, and 7 is the highest, where we're most worried about torsion. Your score is in the middle at 4, which means it could be something else, a different diagnosis. To find out the right diagnosis, we've ordered an urgent ultrasound. While we get that arranged, would you like some pain medicine?
And it's time for the Keener Contest. Last week's winner was David McAdams. He knew Dr. Thomas Latta was the first physician to use intravenous fluids during the London cholera outbreak in 1832. Melissa, what question do you have for us this week?
Was Dr. Douglas Friend, and how is he related to the story of testicular torsion?
Oh, well, if you know, then send me the answer to the sgem at gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. And the first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize. Now, I have just ordered a whole bunch of new cool skeptical prizes. So if you have won the Keener contest before, play again, because there is a new type of cool skeptical prizes. Now, for a conference update, I'm looking forward to seeing my good FOMED friend, Manrique Yumana, in Costa Rica in February at the Emergency Medicine and Acute Care Conference. I'm sure it will be Pura Vida. You got anything coming up, Melissa?
Nothing as good as Costa Rica, although I have visited there and really love it.
Well, I really want to thank you for coming on and helping us twist and shout and break down this paper on the TWIST score.
I've had a great time, Ken, and I hope we could do this again.
Until then, can you give the SGEM tagline? But I want to challenge you. Can you do it as a 14-year-old boy suffering from testicular torsion?
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
That was so good. All right, we'll talk to everyone next time.